Thank you, Josh. I was waiting for you to finish that. The good news is, Pastor's in the building. The bad news is, he's not here. We are glad to have him back. I got a chance to just hug his neck for a minute and said, you know, the kids always feel better when Dad's home, when Dad's in the house. And we are so thankful for him, but he is in Roots tonight. And normally I teach the third session of Roots, the Transform class, but we had a real small class coming through this time, so they're going to wait and start in January so we can have a bigger group. So that's where we are. But we're down to the B team, the junior high B team. So it's time for Pastor to be back in this pulpit. My husband's back there saying, amen, that's true. No. Okay, well, Josh has been trying to get me up here for a couple of weeks, and I've been making excuses. And he said, oh, you know, just, you don't have to prepare, just preach out of the overflow. That doesn't work for me. But God has been stirring something in my heart. Do you ever get something stuck in your head? Like the other day, we were talking about a movie, and they were saying, who played this role in the movie? And they said, Jamie Lee Curtis. And they go, well, who's Jamie Lee Curtis? And they said, well, you know, the one that does the yogurt commercial, Activia, you know, and everybody knows Activia. And the rest of the day, that's stuck in my head, Activia. Well, I've been kind of at that place with a story in the Bible for several months, and I've been unpacking it and chewing on it, reading it in different translations. There's something in there for us. And so I'm going to give it its first go-round tonight, and we'll see what the Lord has to say to us. I think my favorite song is the one, Restoration. He brings restoration. And how he turns our mourning into dancing and our sorrow into joy. And I think tonight maybe we're going to see a key to that, because not all our mourning's turned into dancing. Not all our sorrow's turned into joy. Not all our weeping is turned into laughing. We have to give him those pieces. We can't hold on to it and say, well, I'm so sad. Why doesn't Jesus make me happy? We give him. It's called the great exchange. So look with me in Luke chapter 17. Tonight we're going to be talking about from mercy to faith. And this is going to be a word study. I'm not a Greek scholar, but I know how to use a Strong's Concordance. And I really felt like we needed to break this down. From mercy to faith, where are the other nine? So let's read Luke chapter 17, a story you've probably heard about the 10 lepers. I will admit to you, where's Vianne? Vianne's a physician. I was looking at pictures of leprosy on the internet today. Not a pretty thing. Not at all. Okay. Luke 17:11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, well, weren't there 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you whole. Rise and go. Your faith has made you whole. Well, depends on the version that you're looking at, but we're going to break it down in the Greek. Rise and go, your faith has made you well. I think we all struggle with this a little bit. We had an incident at our house last week that just brought such clarity and reminded me of this, and I'm picking on my husband a little bit because it happened to be him this time, but listen, it's me just as much. Do you ever ask the Lord for something? You're in a crisis situation, you need money, you need healing, you need a certain situation, you need direction, and you cry out to the Lord, and he answers you, and you just go on to the next thing you need. And we had had a very specific need, and George and I had prayed together about it. And a couple days later, I asked him about that situation. He goes, oh, yeah, such and such happened. The Lord took care of it. And then we both just went on to the next thing. How easy it is to just go on down the road. So let's unpack this passage of Scripture tonight and see what it has to say. I'm reading out of the NIV, but we're going to be looking at some specific words. He's on his way to Jerusalem, and he's going between Samaria and Galilee. Now, you probably know the Samaritans and the Jews did not like each other. Galilee was an area of Israel. Jesus is known as the Galilean. And the Samaritans and the Jews hated each other. And he was going into a village. 10 men who had leprosy met him. Now, the passage implies that there's a mixture of Jews and Samaritans in this group, because he said the only one who came back was this foreigner. And sometimes real crisis in life will cause us to break down some walls. Leprosy is a terrible disease. Biblically, it encompasses a whole group of skin diseases. But if you want to have some fun, just go read some descriptions in the Old Testament about your skin falling off and things like that. And it's very painful. It's very sad. And people with leprosy were considered unclean. They didn't understand the disease. It can be transmitted from person to person, not as easily as the flu, but it can be transmitted. So sometimes families would have it, and it was considered a curse because they didn't know where it came from, and it was so disfiguring. When you have leprosy, your nerve endings stop functioning, and so you will gradually grow numb, and especially your extremities. And you'll have no feeling in your toes or your hands. And then extremities can eventually start falling off. And some of the pictures I looked today were people with feet with no toes or hands with no fingers. Someone's nose. And it's important. I'm not just trying to give you shock value here. Perhaps their nose or their ear would be gone. Very disfiguring. And someone with leprosy was destined to a life of being an outcast, of being a beggar, of having to walk around going unclean, unclean. They could never be with their family. They could never be in the synagogue, in the temple. Their life was over. And these men stood at a distance. He's going along. 10 men who had leprosy met him. But they met him at a distance. Now, if you look in the Levitical law, the rabbinical law, actually, they were supposed to keep about 100 paces, which was about 300 feet, which is a football field, right? 300 feet is a football field. You know, we can all kind of envision how that's a long ways. They were not supposed to be around, any closer to people than a football field. Well, now tell me, where can you go that you're not going to be within a football field's length of people? So they were very isolated, and they lived on the outskirts. But they came to him, and they stood at a distance, and they yelled out 100 yards away, Master! And this is an interesting word. They didn't call him Lord. They didn't call him Savior. They called him Master. And the Greek word means commander. And it was specifically used in reference to Jesus when they would call him Master, but not calling him Savior or Lord, but commander. They understood this man commands things. When he speaks, things happen. And they say what? Have pity on us. Now, maybe different translations may have mercy on us, have pity on us. But this word, when I looked it up in the Greek, it's a very specific word. It can be translated pity or mercy, and it means compassion. It means we're begging. Give us something we don't deserve. We are destitute. We are outcasts. Give us something. We have no right to this. We have no covenant with you. Just have pity. It's like seeing someone stand on the side of the road with a sign, out of work, hungry. They have no basis for asking you to give them anything other than drawing on something that's in you. And people might give them money for a lot of different reasons. You might give them money out of compassion, out of a good heart. You might give them money out of guilt because you have a job and they don't have a job, or you just ate too much at Golden Corral and you feel guilty, so you need to give them $5, or you're on your way to church to praise Jesus that you're not on the side of the road, whatever. But pity and mercy are when you are asking for something you don't deserve. You're begging for it. It's not earned. And when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. Now that's interesting. I went back and read the passage. When you were cleansed of leprosy, because sometimes people through, Naaman was cleansed by dipping in the Jordan River, different ways you might be healed of your leprosy. Jesus healed you, that you have a spontaneous healing, whatever. When you believe that you were cleansed of your leprosy, you were to go show yourself to the priest. He was to examine you, check your skin, check all these different things. And then there were a series of sacrifices, but this was after you were cleansed. And he tells them to go. They're not cleansed, but as they went, they were cleansed. Go show yourself to the priest. They took him at his word because they're hobbling along like, we're going to go see the priest, but it doesn't look too good. Believing the mercy and the pity of God that when they got there, they would be cleansed. Go, show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. This word means to make clean. The Greek word katharos is where we get our word catharsis. You know what a catharsis is? Have you ever had real bad stomach flu and you finally throw up? You've had a catharsis, you've had a purging, you've got it out of your system. They were cleansed. They were made clean as they went. One of them, when he saw he was healed, he saw something. It wasn't just, oh, I'm not contagious anymore. He saw something. We don't know what he saw. The word isn't clear on that. But he saw that he was healed. And the word here, healed, means he was cured. He was no longer sick. He's going along and he realizes, I no longer have leprosy. I'm cured. And he goes back to Jesus and he falls at his feet. He throws himself down. He's praising God in a loud voice, and he thanks Jesus. And this was the Samaritan, the one outside the covenant. And Jesus said, weren't there 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Was no one found who would come back and say thank you, who would express gratitude? I just changed your life. I just saved your life. And you're so busy going down the road enjoying the answered prayer that you don't come back and acknowledge the source of the answer of prayer. Giving thanks means to express gratitude, to be grateful, to act grateful. It's like when we give thanks, when we say grace at dinner. Thank you, Lord, for this food. We're being thankful for it. But Jesus said, where's the others? Only the foreigner comes back. Where are the others? They're down the road. And you know, they hadn't gotten very far away because the Samaritan turns around and comes back to Jesus immediately. It wasn't like they had gone 10 miles or it was the next day. He's going, and all of a sudden he goes, whoa, wait a minute, wait. And he runs back to Jesus and he falls at his feet and he's praising God and he's thanking him. And in verse 19, Jesus said to him, rise and go. Your what? Faith has made you what? Whole or well. We started out talking about pity and mercy, and now we've moved to faith. They asked for mercy. They asked for pity. But now Jesus is addressing this man's faith. And this word is a completely different Greek word, sozo, which implies to be made whole. Now, I would not build a whole doctrine on this, but it's always intrigued me that you have three different words, three very specific Greek words here for being cleansed, being healed, and being made whole. And I just wonder if that meant he's got fingers. He's got toes. I have a nose. I have been made whole. Whole. Dear ones, it's one thing to be healed. It's another thing to be made whole. And so often we stop at the healing and we don't press into the wholeness. And he wants to make us whole. Sozo is the word you hear a lot. Jesus makes us whole, spirit, soul, and body. It's no big thing for him. But what robbed the other nine? Lack of thankfulness. Because Jesus said to him, your faith has made you well. You have come back. You have been thankful. You're the only one that's thankful. You're the only one that's turned back. And it has done an amazing work in you. Now, unless you think I'm just stretching this, Mark 10 is a completely different story, completely different character. But it has the same idea, blind Bartimaeus. In Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And they're coming to Jericho, Jesus and his disciples. And there's this large crowd, and Bartimaeus, blind man, again, someone who's just consigned to a life of begging and pity and whatever someone will give him. He's sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. That's interesting. We could go there, but we won't tonight. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus said, call him. So they called him. Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. And throwing down his cloak, that was probably the only thing he owned was his cloak. But he was so anxious to get to Jesus. It was like Peter in the boat when he went to Jesus. He took off his coat and just jumped out of the boat and went to Jesus. Nothing was going to hinder him, not his only possession. It's like, I got to run fast. And he threw his cloak down and he came to Jesus. And Jesus said, what do you want? You know, Jesus asks us that. What do you want? Well, I want to be fixed. I want to be whole. Do you? Will you press in? Will you go the whole way? And Jesus said, what do you want? Well, he could have asked for a lot of things. A loaf of bread? You got any gold coins? Caught any fish with gold coins in their mouths lately? There's a lot of things he could have asked for. But he said, I'm going to go for it. Rabbi, I want to see. You know, I think about Solomon and when the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream and said, Solomon, you can ask for anything you want. What do you want? Have you ever wondered what you would ask for? Maybe I want three more wishes? I don't know. I want to be rich. I mean, there were a lot of things you could ask for. And Solomon asked for the best thing. He asked for wisdom. And because of that, God said, I'll add everything else to you. So he asked, Bartimaeus here, he just goes for the big thing. I'm just going to go for it. I want to see. And when Jesus comes to you, when we're in a service and the Holy Spirit is moving and flowing and the worship team's leading us into that place, and Jesus just says, what do you want? Don't say, I want a loaf of bread. Say, I want to see. I don't just want to be healed. I want to be whole. Because Jesus is not put off by our audacity. And Bartimaeus says, I want to see. And what has Jesus said to him? In verse 32, go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. And that word heal is that word sozo again, has made you whole. Here Bartimaeus goes from begging and asking for mercy, Son of David, have mercy on me, in verse 47, to the place he's moved from begging for mercy to this place of faith and going for it. And Jesus meets him and says, yes, I'll honor that kind of audacious prayer. Mark Batterson in The Circle Maker says, ask big and receive big. That's one of the catchphrases for the girls that are involved with Pure Joy. We got a big God. Ask big and receive big. And Mark Batterson says this, bold prayers honor God, and God honors bold prayers. God isn't offended by your biggest dreams or your boldest prayers. He is offended by anything less. Because I think what we ask of him indicates what we trust him for, what we believe him capable of, what we think his heart is for us. When you say, I want to see, you're saying, I think you can make me see. You speak the word and it'll be. The greatest tragedy in life is prayers that go unanswered because they go unasked. Are you afraid to ask? Have you held back asking? If we go back to this passage in Luke, Luke comes before John, Luke 17. What was it that brought the Samaritan back? Thankfulness. He didn't know he was going to be made whole. He was just thankful that he was healed. But when he came back with a heart of gratitude and said, thank you, falling at his feet, thank you, that brought his wholeness. And so often we're so busy going down the road rejoicing in this when God wants to give us this. Are we satisfied with only what we perceive we need? Are you satisfied with only what you think you want? Do you realize there's more? There's so much more. Will we stay close enough to Jesus to receive completion? Look at Philippians 1, verse 3. Both of these received their completion and their wholeness when they pressed up close to Jesus. Philippians 1. Start with verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It's right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. You being filled with this brings glory and praise to God. God delights in answering our prayer. He delights in his children coming to him and asking him, because when we ask him with a sincere heart, we're saying, you're God, you're capable. I believe you are capable. I believe you have the answer to my prayer. So we come to him in this place, not of begging, but in this place of faith with a thankful heart. And we will be able to discern what is best when we come to him that way, to know and discern the best. But we're so busy running down the road, we miss the best. And I say we have to turn back and fall at his feet and thank him. Galatians 3:3 talks about having begun in the spirit. Are we now made perfect in the flesh? No. Well, King David understood the concept of having begun in the flesh, we can end in the spirit. And I was flipping through the Psalms, how often David starts out a psalm just broken and crushed and discouraged. And I don't know if he was bipolar or what, but he certainly was depressive. And he would cry out to the Lord. He'd cry out to the Lord. But by the end of every psalm, his heart had turned back towards the Lord. He would stir himself up. He'd say, why are you cast down, O my soul? Hope yet in the Lord. And he would begin to rejoice in the Lord. And he would turn this around. So even when he started in the flesh, he would end in the spirit. And we could start in the flesh and end in the spirit. That's a whole lot better than starting in the spirit and ending in the flesh. We don't want to be that place like, oh, Lord, that was good. What's next? Have your children ever done that? Your grandchildren? Gimme, gimme, gimme. And as soon as you give it to them, they're gone for the next thing. I love to watch maybe a three-year-old unwrap birthday presents. And then the next one. They don't care what's in there. A lot of times they don't even open the box. They're just like ripping it off. And then they're on to the next thing. Or they look and they throw it aside and on to the next thing. And we're that way with the Lord so often, with his blessings and with his graces. We're so busy looking for what's the next thing. What's the next thing he's got for me? That we don't treasure and honor and receive the completion of what he has for us where we are. Think about the woman with the issue of blood. She pressed in. She was made whole because she pressed in. You've got to be bold to get close. Whether you're a leper who gets within shouting distance, whether you're a woman who's unclean with an issue of blood, she had no right to be in that crowd. She had no right to approach a rabbi. But she wanted what he had. And she was desperate, and she cast herself at his feet. If I can just get a hold of the hem of his garment, she pressed in. Listen, I thank God for his mercy. His mercies are new every morning. His mercy is a gift. We don't deserve anything. Who in here deserves salvation? Who in here deserves forgiveness? Who in here deserves healing? None of us do. So that all comes to us by the mercy of God. But let's press on beyond the mercy of God. Let's press into faith. Let's go from being healed to being made whole. And I think for so many of us, there are places in our life that we've just settled for being healed. And get your mind off of physical healing. Let's talk about healing of the soul, healing of dreams, healing of relationships. We will settle for, you know, if my ex would just never speak to me again, I'd be fine with that. That's settling way below sozo. Let's believe God for the restoration of those relationships. If my sister-in-law would just not come to Christmas dinner, everything would be fine. That's not God's best. If I never had to deal with that issue again, if I just pretend, if just leave it in the closet, pretend it's not there. If I just don't have a meltdown in public, that's good enough. God, just help me get through this day. We'll worry about tomorrow, tomorrow. That's not God's best. And we're settling, and thank God for his healing, but he wants us to press in to wholeness. And the key is turning back to Jesus and being thankful and not being so quick to run down the road to the next thing. We've got to turn back to him. He loves us so much. He has so much for you. I have dreams in my heart that have been there for 40 years that he's just now bringing alive. Things I gave up on, people I gave up on, relationships. We've all got our stories. I don't want your story, you don't want my story. You can look at Pastor Gary, Pastor Josh, Pastor Charity and think, yeah, but if they had my problems, no. Everybody's got their own set. You don't want somebody else's. Probably don't want your own either. I understand that. But things that you've allowed to wither and die. Giftings. And when I say this word, now everybody's going to go ministries. And I'm not necessarily saying you're going to pastor a church. Maybe be involved in a missions trip, be involved in inner city outreach, be involved in a pregnancy care center, be involved with your neighbor. There's a thought. Become deliberate about your street. We talk about that in Transform so much in Roots, how we are so focused on the world and we lose our own neighborhood. And I confess to the group, we've lived in our house 26 years. And when I started teaching Transform and started getting a hold of this concept about dominion where you are, because in Scripture it's first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And this is a big concept of taking dominion. And so when I began to see this, I realized, you know what? I've been in this house 26 years, and they're neighbors I've never talked to about Jesus. And I have a little path I like to walk. I mean, you know how you have your trail around your neighborhood. I thought, that's my domain. And for 26 years, I've walked up and down these streets and driven up and down the streets and not even thought about who's in that house, what's going on there. But man, I want to go, Lord, send me to fill in the blank. Send me to Guatemala. Send me to Russia. Send me to where? I want to go to the world. I am called to the nations. Well, first you're called to your neighborhood. And we're going down the road. And we're missing what he's got for us. But there are things in your heart that he wants to bring alive again. But it's going to start with you being thankful. And not saying, yeah, but Jesus, I don't want this. I want that. I have an acquaintance, and we talk a lot about their desire to be in ministry, to be in full-time ministry. And I understand that whatever that means. I'm not quite sure what that means, but we have this concept. Well, if I could just get paid to, you know, pray and go to Panera and have coffee like Josh does. That's all Pastor Josh does, is, you know. He gets to sing and have coffee. I want that job. I don't want all these menopausal women, Josh. I'll trade you. No, we laugh about that in staff because, oh, my goodness, they'll talk about, oh, what's going on with the children, how awesome it is with the children. And, you know, we had 80 kids and e-kids, and that's my idea of hell, is being in there with 80 little kids or teenagers. Oh, but give me a room full of menopausal women, and I'm happy. So God calls everybody and gifts us differently. But this acquaintance of mine is so focused on, I want to be in ministry, to the point of being bitter, and is very frustrated with the place they are in life right now, in the business world where they are. And the person that they are connected to in this business relationship, somebody's praying for that person. She works for a young man who is very, what would the word be? Very vocally, forcefully, proudly gay. And he's really in her face about it. He knows she's a Christian, and he loves to taunt her, and he happens to be her superior. So she has to take a lot of it. And you know what? I kind of have a theory that most gay men, many, many gay men, let's put it that way, come from a church background. And if you talk to them, a lot of times you're like, yeah, I was raised in the Baptist church, but. My grandma was a praying woman, but. And the key there is somebody's praying for that young man. He has got a believing mom, a believing grandma. Somebody is praying for him because she has been positioned right there with him. And he just drives her nuts because she wants to be in the ministry. I don't want to mess with you. I don't want to talk to you about Jesus. I don't want to pray for you. I don't want to be annoyed by you. I am called. And you know, are you laughing at her? Are you laughing at yourself? I'm called to the nations. I don't have time to do what's right. I don't have time to love my husband and love my kids and forgive my mother-in-law and whatever, fill in the blank. The key is to be thankful for where you are and what he's done. And he will take you from healing to wholeness. But if you're so busy going down on the road, you're going to miss it. And he wants us in that place of sozo. He wants us in that place of completion. What is the dream in your heart? What is the thing that you have let just, it's good enough? Well, I used to think, but I used to think that God would give me a good relationship. God would give me a friend. God would give me a mate. But I guess I'm just going to have to settle for this. And you're just settling for mercy when God is saying, take faith and press on into wholeness. So I want us each, we've got a lot of time left, a couple minutes. We're going to spend some time going to that place. We're going to start with thankfulness. And I believe as you focus on him, if you go, well, I don't even know what she's talking about. I don't even know what I've let go of. Or where in my life I'm healed and not whole. As you begin to praise him, as you begin to let him bring restoration, it's going to come to you. You're going to know. And a song like He Brings Restoration is the best background music for that. He brings restoration. He's going to turn your mourning into dancing. He can redeem those relationships. I wish I could. He wants to do it. He doesn't want you to just be healed. He wants you to be whole. He's taking us from glory to glory. He's transforming us into the image of his dear son. And his dear son is not walking around going, well, you know, if I just don't have to see Peter and Paul, I'll be fine. I can get along with these guys. You know what? I imagine Jesus has forgiven Judas and holds no bitterness. Let him complete what he's begun in you. It's his desire, Philippians says, to complete what he's begun in you. Has he begun a good work in you? I believe you're here. He's begun a good work in you. Let him complete it. Go on to that next place. But the key is being thankful. So let's stand and be thankful. Ask the Lord to show you that place where you have settled for mercy and pity, and he wanted you to go on to wholeness. We all have them. And in thankfulness, say, Lord, take me on into wholeness. Take me into completion. Press into him. Be thankful. Don't just be looking for the next thing. Be thankful. Be present where you are. If that's praying for your neighbors, if that's witnessing to your coworkers, do that. Be faithful where you are.